visually, it just didn't sit right with me.
I would wear a Joe Burrow jersey. I'm a Burrow fan, bro.
Dallas is on par with the Philadelphia Eagles.
I walk away from this game and I go, it's funny how things shift in the NFL.
There's another guy who I believe, all things being equal, may be better than Patrick Mahomes. When I was with the New York Giants, I swore I was the best defensive end in football. I knew it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jason and OC podcast. My brother OC's over there, looking fresh as always. I appreciate your dapperness.
I appreciate that, J-Bo.
You're like an executive.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Do I look like an executive right now?
Yeah, you actually are an executive.
I am an executive.
Yeah, it's not a joke.
Yeah, I am.
You actually are. You have real meetings.
I do.
You know them people that got them fake meetings, yeah. Always got meetings.
Yeah.
And they ain't doing nothing. Yeah.
I went to Germany specifically for meetings.
I saw you. I'm doing the live broadcast. Yeah, yeah. I see you come in with a suit on, looking fresher than all of us on the live broadcast.
Straight up.
Killed us.
I had to make some plays, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good, though.
It was outstanding.
I need to catch up with you on that after the pod because I'm very interested in your moves. Mm-hmm. And also, I want to let you know, word on the street is your lazy boy will arrive. I'm putting it out there again.
Yeah.
Because you have to manifest these things.
Yeah, it has to manifest. Yeah.
It has to manifest these things. Yep. Shout out to our sponsor, Lazy Boy. You know, they're the original recliner brand.
Yes.
I grew up on a Lazy Boy.
Lazy Boy.
Big comfort. Big boy comfort. Mm-hmm. Not too big, though, where you break the arm of the chair.
Yeah.
But big boy comfort.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a certain level of.
I like it. What's the website? Can you give
me? Are you ready for that?
Yeah, give them that.
www.la-z-boy.co.uk.
I like that, man.
You like that?
Is it so Lazy Boy is almost like the standard bearer of reclining chairs.
Clap it up, OC. There you go.
So for instance, right? Mm-hmm. Like we used to call in Nigeria, or was it in the UK, a vacuum cleaner. We used to call it a Hoover.
Yeah, they call that here.
Hoover.
Yeah.
It's a Hoover, right?
In the UK,
but the
Hoover's
the brand. It's not an actual vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, and we call in America, it's a vacuum cleaner.
It's a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
But here's a Hoover.
Yes.
And in Nigeria, diapers are Pampers. We don't call them diapers. We call them Pampers.
And we would mix it in the US. We would say Pampers and diapers. Nappies here.
Yeah. But in Nigeria, it's Pampers. That's Pampers.
Yeah, and we call it diapers in the UK. US, sorry.
So a reclining chair is basically like a Lazy Boy.
There you go, bro. You see what you just did?
You like that?
Because you just chilling.
Brand awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Man, you know what? You should be a high-level ad exec.
Yeah.
You would own the company, though. Let's just be honest.
Not sure.
You're not sure?
I'm always working for the man. It seems like I'm the man, but I'm always working. I'm always working for the man. Speaking of working for the man, I got some. I have something that I saw.
Tell me more.
That may be of interest.
Okay.
To a lot of people.
Let me get my drink.
Sip your tea. Because I know I'm going to catch hell.
Really? You're going to get heat for this?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So, you know Caleb Williams, the quarterback for USC?
Wow. I just talked to my boy the other day. That's the head of player development at SC. Mm-hmm. So, this could be interesting. Yeah.
Played a game, I think it was against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the game.
Yes.
Right. He played pretty well.
He's balling.
Yeah. Played well. And I think they lost the game, and I think he knows that this is it for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after the game, he ran up into the stands.
To his mom?
To his mom. And, you know, he got on her, and she started bawling. Like,
she covered his face, right?
She covered his face,
like,
and he was,
you know,
like, yeah. He was,
it looked like he was crying.
He was for sure crying.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, nobody could see. But,
yeah. And, you know, I saw a conversation between, I think it was RG3,
okay,
and one of my good friends, Robert Mathis, the DN for the Colts.
Okay, former quarterback RG3, Robert Mathis from the Colts.
From the Colts, DN.
Yep.
Hall of Fame play.
Baller.
And he was like, yeah, I don't know about that one.
Who said that?
RG3 was like, this man is showing emotion. And
then
Robert Mathis was like, I don't know about this one.
He wasn't convinced
about that. And here's the funny thing, is that I saw this happen, but I was watching it on TV, and I saw him do that. This is Caleb Williams,
yes,
right?
Should be the first pick of the draft, if anybody doesn't know.
Right. So I saw him do it. And when it happened, two things ran into my mind. First thing that came into my mind was, I was like, this is sports, right? This is emotion. This is, you know, he's showing emotion, and that should be embraced and in all of that. That was the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, oh, this is... But the second thing was, that can't be my quarterback. That was the second thing.
Really?
That was the second thing that came into my mind. So when I saw that conversation happening between RG3 and Robert Mathis, it took me to my opposing viewpoints.
Got it.
On what I had just saw.
Your first was?
My first was.
You're on both sides of the fence, right?
And my second was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with showing emotion, I don't think, right? I'm pretty sure there's nothing wrong with. I've cried after a game. I cost my team the game, and I was in the locker room. I was with my teammates, and I was bawling, right? Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people crying after games. It's an emotional sport.
You've done this as long as we have. You've seen it all in there.
Yeah, so that happens all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was the crying that was the problem.
Mm.
I think what the issue was seeing him run to his mother.
Mm.
So it's not the showing of emotion. If you're going to cry in that situation, to me, it's like it should be with your guys. It should be with your teammates, right? Like, to me, running into the stands and crying on your mom's lap, I don't want to say it shows weakness, because it doesn't, but there's something that's visually, it just didn't sit right with me. And then this guy was like, Robert Mathis was like, Peyton Manning would never, right? And I tried to think about it. I was like, he's right. He would never. That's just not something that you would see from a Brady or, you know, I'm not even a Mahomes. I just don't think you would see that from those guys. And so that was the conversation, the discourse. And I have to say, I agreed with Robert Mathis on this one, man. I do. I don't think that was a good look from your franchise quarterback, bro.
Interesting. I was interested in your listening to you, because the first thing I thought was, I like how you had these opposing views, right? Because that really kind of sets the stage of the conversation. Like, you're like, boom, your first was this. And then as you dove into it, you were more or less like, I'm not sure, right? Let's start off, Olsie. He's 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's a 21-year-old
man
becoming a man in college.
Mm.
We've been to college. He's a 21-year-old kid.
Not a kid.
I was a kid at 21.
Mm.
I think that's how I thought. I was not quite mature yet. And then you're in college, you know, it's just different. Like, even you talk about college coaching and the pros is so different, because the way they have to motivate. And then when you get to the pros, you go, you can't talk to them like that anymore.
Mm.
Right? You can't do what you did in college. Mm-hmm. You can't even coach them like that.
Yep.
Now, I've never been in a position on the field to see my mom and run to her after a play or after something didn't happen. I know this guy really wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
He won the Heisman. He's had all the accolades. He really wanted to win. I feel like the moment hit him.
Yes.
I feel like the moment hit him. When you're strong, there are people in your life you're weak to, and there are people you comfort. And yeah, I feel like that's what happened. I also feel like, so I look at that and I'm like, I can understand that. I've never been in that situation, but I can understand that.
Yes.
You know, I could totally. And it doesn't really offend me, because I believe if I was in that position and all that emotion, at that game, he knew they weren't going to win the Pac-10 title.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're not going to be. He was trying to get a national championship, all that kind of stuff. I mean, the defense fell apart, just didn't look good. But I also think that we talk about mental health and talk about being able to express ourselves and being exposed. But this is another prime example of how men just don't get that. They just don't get that consideration.
Mm.
We talk about it and we say we should, and you should be like this and give people be patient with people and understanding. But I still think this is a prime example of why men in this, I'm not saying with him, but you see the, you know, the suicide rates and things like that are still high for men, because if we do show something, look at how people responded.
The problem was him, the way it transpired. I don't think it was him crying or showing emotion. Everybody's cried. Mathis has cried. I've probably seen Mathis cry before. What I'm saying is, me personally, I don't want to see my leader, my quarterback, the leader of the team, the leader of the franchise, I don't want to see, it was a, to me, it didn't look appropriate.
First of all, nobody saw his face. Is that true?
Okay, he wasn't crying.
No, but I'm saying, do we see his face?
No, he wasn't crying.
We don't, his mom covered his face like a mom would do.
He wasn't crying.
Okay.
Maybe he wasn't crying. Maybe he was just healed.
But if he was crying, finish your statement.
No, there's no if. That's a hypothetical now.
But this whole thing is hypothetical.
No, it's not. It's on the assumption that...
Yes, we're assuming.
So we're assuming that he was crying. Okay, good. I'm saying that, for me, that doesn't look appropriate for the guy who I want to be my leader.
And I'm saying, as a 21-year-old, I don't know what I would have done.
Yes.
And this is why I believe men hold back so much of their emotions.
Because of reactions like this.
Not yours, but the one was written. Yeah.
Yeah. My reaction. Yeah. Even still.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair point.
That's all I'm saying.
1,000% fair points.
That was all I was saying.
No, it's real, right? It's the dichotomy of the world that we live in, right? Because we live in two parallel
worlds. One thing, but when it happens, we don't support it.
Because ultimately, there is a burden of strength on men.
But isn't being strong being able to understand when you're weak?
Cool. Optics. Mm-hmm. Perception is, unfortunately, the reality.
A lot of it is.
Right? And so, if this is my teammate, something has happened, something didn't go your way, something went wrong, right? And we've been on this battlefield together. We've blood, sweat, tears, went through everything together, right? Mm-hmm. Something didn't go your way. You weren't crying with us.
Right.
You ran to your mother.
Right. So you're like, come, hey, man, in the locker room, or we're together. It kind of like, now I envision like when a guy gets hurt and he starts to break down, and how we cover him up and we kind of protect him, and we don't allow anybody to see, you know, what's going on. We kind of just rally around
the person. Like it's us, right? Yeah. To me, I'm just saying the image. Right.
If he would have ran to the sideline and cried with his teammates,
nobody would have even said, it would have been like, oh, okay.
Yep.
People cry on the sidelines all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
you
true.
Understand what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the image of him running to his mother.
Right.
And on her lap crying, to me, it just didn't sit right. It's not him crying.
I really understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So
I've never seen that, but once again, I've never been in a situation where that's happened, or it's never been on tape. Like, you know, like, I guess after a game, people's parents will come on the field or whatever, like in high school or even in college when you come out of the tunnel and whatever, or, you know, you see that kind of stuff all the time.
But you know,
we saw two brothers crying. I'm not going to mention their name, but it was after a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you see it.
You raised a very interesting point. You raised a very, very interesting point then that I hadn't thought about. And it's correct. In the moment of you being drafted or you doing something and there's elation, you cry tears of joy with your mom. Yes. So it's something.
Your dad high fives you and he's like, you know, but sometimes.
Even you can cry with your dad.
You
can't. Right?
Of course you can. Right. But it's.
So in a situation where everything goes wrong or things don't go your way, you crying with your mom in the same way you would cry if something good happened shouldn't be an issue with it.
This is why I don't have an issue with it.
Mm.
It's because we're lucky enough to be in some tense situations with people, right? Yeah. Friends, colleagues, whatever. Like, the game teaches you that.
Mm.
And you can see, like, you could be boys with somebody and know, man, in the battle, you're not the dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not the dude. But I'm still cool with you because you've seen it. You see the way he goes about his business, or a player of his caliber. Let's even remove him from it. I just don't know how you could lose any respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has the respect of his teammates. He makes it happen. He works, you know, all that. I've heard all that. So in that situation, it's almost like I kind of hear what you're saying, and it makes sense to me. It's like, I can't even be weak in front of them. Mm. I can't show no weakness. Like, they looking at me, and I'm about to break down. Like, I'm about to break down, but I can't break down in front of them. I need to hide, you know, moms. Mm. There she is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I gotta be strong. And that's why I thought about that. I never even thought about that till you told me about that conversation they were having. We don't get a pass, OC. Everybody's mental health. Yes. Okay, men's mental health, all this. And then we in a situation, I saw something on the internet that talked about three different guys in different situations. Look at Will Smith. Now, don't feel bad for him on other stuff.
Mm.
But no, everybody laughs at him, at his wife putting him on blast, and people are laughing. They ain't saying, man, I'm worried about Will Smith's mental health. It's ha, 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 ha. But we care about mental health. No, we care about some people's mental health.
Yeah. Point you raised about the crying when something good happens. To me, that's what I've taken away from that. That's a fair,
you see it all the time,
point.
Man. Yeah, when I made it, when I finally made the team in Dallas, I'm crying with moms. You know, when my pops passed away, I talked to you. Mm-hmm. Hey, when he was sick and he was about to, I was like, I knew you had been through it. Tell me solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, J. Bell. Boom, boom, boom. We talked about it, right? Mm-hmm. But moms was calling me to be like, you know, ready for me to break down. Mm-hmm. She's like, if you're going to break down, because you ain't going to break down nowhere else, this is where you break down.
Mm-hmm.
Both ways.
Yeah.
You know?
It's legitimate.
Yeah, so.
It's legit points.
I mean.
What's next?
Send a message. It's time for you to send a message. We were at the game this week.
Yep.
Germany game. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Did not disappoint, in my opinion.
Mm.
Saw two explosive offenses.
Mm-hmm.
Teams are trying to get a quarterback like that. We just talked about one right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have that kind of guy, you got that. I think, and I walk away from this game and I go, it's funny how things shift in life and in the NFL. Who knew that Kansas City was going to be led by their defense like this, right? Who knew they got the best player in NFL, in my opinion? Or there might be three guys, but he's one of them. And
who, Kansas City?
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, yep.
Okay.
I think, you want me to name my three? Because I see how you're looking at me.
No. Okay. I like that because Patrick Mahomes being the best player in the NFL.
Yeah, he's one of the top.
It's my narrative.
Okay, good. I have about three guys that I look at like are the best.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all quarterbacks.
Mm.
But you look at what he can do. He can make a moment happen, which you're led by a defense that's taking advantage, balling out, and then you got a guy that just at any moment. I mean, they were triple teaming Kelsey. I'm not saying they were triple. They were double teaming Kelsey, taking him away, still found ways to make plays. And Miami should look at this and think, I know what you're going to say about them. They kind of showed they can make it happen. I mean, they were throwaway. You know, that last drive, there were people open. It didn't happen, and the moments didn't take place, so that's all we can say.
Good game. Okay, two things. First, Miami. They said it's been 405 days since they beat a team over 500.
That long?
It's been over a year. Since they beat the team.
I thought it was just this season.
It's been 405 days now.
Jeez.
Since they, 407. It's been 407 days since they've beaten a team over 500. This is Miami.
I guess I can, my statement really doesn't make any sense.
No, I mean, everything you said was correct.
Yeah,
but they just haven't found a way to beat teams that are, you know, good teams.
Mm-hmm.
They beat up on weak competition. They're bullies.
Yep.
Essentially. That's what they are. Bullies. And then somebody steps up, punches them in the mouth.
They go sit down.
They go sit down somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
The facts are the facts.
But there's also another thing.
Okay.
That we should discuss.
Yep. It's discussion day.
Yeah. We agree that Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. There's no equivocation about that particular
I'm in.
But it leads me to something that we need to discuss.
Do we need to hash something out?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because
luckily I'm in my lazy boy.
There's another quarterback. Mahomes is universally regarded as the best quarterback in the NFL. That's what most people say.
Yes.
99.99% people say it. It's Mahomes. Yeah. Mahomes, Mahomes.
Yes. For many reasons.
But I'm not so sure.
Okay.
I'm not so sure if he's the best quarterback in the NFL.
I think when you win Super Bowls and you're the MVP and you're the quarterback, it's kind of easy for people to take that route.
Yeah, it is. But hypothetically speaking.
But I'm winning. I like, whenever you start with that, it's like, what's your other statement?
Oh, with all due respect. With all due respect. With all due respect, Patrick Mahomes.
Hypothetically, with all due respect.
There's another guy who I believe, all things being equal.
What is, okay.
Maybe better than Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, and you're going to have to lay this out and explain what being equal means. And who is this person? Because I have an idea.
Let's say you remove Andy Reid from the equation.
Okay. That's a big bonus for, that is big.
Let's say you remove Andy Reid from the equation.
Okay.
You're going to, who's a really bad team? I say the Carolina Panthers.
Oof. Well, dude, they got the number one pick, and you see how he's running for his life back there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know if I take Patrick Mahomes over Joe Burrow.
I mean, you're 1A, 1B.
Yeah, but I just.
So this hashing this out is like, okay, we're arguing over the greats. Let's just start there. But I like it.
When I watch a fully healthy Joe Burrow.
Yep. Who is pretty healthy right now, and he is balling.
What I've seen this guy do, he's beaten Kansas City on a couple of occasions. But I believe that Joe Burrow is a better quarterback minus the system. Now, Patrick Mahomes, I believe, can flourish in pretty much all systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I know for a fact that Joe Burrow can. I believe that he's a better quarterback. Not the razzle-dazzle running around, you know, making plays with the strong. I believe if I'm picking a guy now and I don't have Andy Reid, I'm just going straight up, who is the guy who I'm going to pick to lead my franchise? Mm. I'm going to pick Joe Burrow over Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. These are 1, 2, and 3. Number 3 is Lamar Jackson. Mm. So this is we are talking. This is the cream of the crop.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And I would wear a Joe Burrow jersey before I would wear a Patrick Mahomes jersey. Okay?
I understand.
I'm a Burrow fan, bro.
Yes.
You know I love Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play for the dude.
Yes.
Right?
Do you want to play for Patrick Mahomes or you want to play with him? There's a difference.
Ooh, nice way you set that up. Patrick Mahomes, the game we're in is about moments. And now we know Joe Burrow can do it. But the way I feel about Patrick Mahomes and the things he can do, I want that.
So do you want to play with him or do you want to play?
I know
for
what you
him?
Mean. Do I want I like the way I like the way Joe Cool does. I could rock with him.
I want to play for him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that. Yeah, yeah, I know what
it's
you
difference.
Mean. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that. Mm. Still think Patrick Mahomes is just a hair better because of what he's done. Okay, I have to go with the accolades.
Yes,
I got to look at it, and I know we removed Andy Reid, but it's what he's done, And it's what he's done when the pressure's on, OC. The big stage, it's on you. You have to create, falling backwards, running to the side, all of that stuff he does. Mm-hmm. Now, Joe Burrow can sit back there and dice up. We were talking about this another time, zone coverage better than anybody I've ever seen. He sits back there like Peyton Manning and he annihilates you.
Mm-hmm.
He does it. His pocket movement is like Brady. Mm-hmm. Steps up, slides, does creates time. I mean, those subtle movements, right? And it looks effortless. So he is crazy mobile in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
The way he leads is unbelievable. Love all of that.
If you're the Carolina Panthers.
Yep, from Carolina.
You're not Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
You're the Carolina Panthers right now.
Yep.
And you have to pick between Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. Who would you pick?
Patrick Mahomes, because they can't block nobody.
So Mahomes.
Yeah, I need somebody who's running for their life, bro.
Do you remember the first year Burrow was in Cincinnati?
Yep.
And he had no O-line?
He made him right. He's making him right now.
He's making him right now.
He is. This is the thing about him that's so, it's so hard in this conversation. All those years when you stripped Tom Brady's assets away, he constantly made you right, constantly made you right, constantly fixed things. Offense was firing on all cylinders. Well, you kind of see that what's happening with KC, and that offense is kind of struggling. They have done that. They, you know, the receivers aren't really showing up. You take away Kelce, there's a lot of problems. It's lacking that thing it once had. So that really legitimizes your argument a lot. I know how I feel. That legitimizes your argument. I see what you're going. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. You know, when you draft the guy, he makes everything okay.
Patrick makes everything okay, too. We're talking about the best.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of times you're like, okay, the O-line, he needs this. But then there's a guy who you draft who none of that really, he elevates everything. He makes the O-line better. He makes the receivers better. He makes everybody around him better.
Good point. Very good point. Because you know who else is doing that? C.J. Stroud. And he sits back there like Joe Burrow and dices you up. Dices you up.
He doesn't have anything better than
dices you
than
up
than the guy in Carolina.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. No. They both. Yeah.
So one of them has made his team without all that stuff a lot better. The other one is just, oh, well, nah, we need to get him.
Joe Burrow doesn't have the best receivers in the game. His receiving trio isn't the best in the game.
We don't know. You know, no. Hold on.
I can't even look at you.
Hold on. Here's why I say we don't know.
Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins.
Here's why I say we don't
just
know.
Just them two.
Here's why I say we don't know, right? Here's why I'm saying we don't know.
Okay.
It's not that those people aren't outstanding players. Mm. I'm saying I don't know if they would be that good if Burrow wasn't that quarterback. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
Tyreek Hill's the best, and remember what he did in Kansas City with.
You know what I mean? That's the only reason why I say we don't know if they're the best receivers in football. They have a guy pulling the trigger who's making everybody around him. He's elevated everybody's game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He has.
I told you for a long period of time.
He has elevated everybody's game.
When I was with the New York Giants, I swore I was the best defensive end in football. I knew it.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I noticed.
I knew it.
I noticed. Until?
I went to Atlanta. I was like, oh, I'm okay. You know what I mean?
That situation.
The situation. The people who I was around elevated everything.
Yeah.
So I can't say those guys are the, because they're playing with a guy who's an assassin.
Fair point. And you lived it.
Yeah.
It's hard to dispute something. Very fair point.
Yeah.
Very, very fair point. So we're going to talk about Dallas and Philly, but I don't know how much time you got.
Let's do it.
All right.
I'll take a cab.
Yeah.
I'll take the train, but I'll take a cab.
Yeah. Tell me about what are your thoughts, man, from this game?
Dallas, Philly, two heavyweights. Dallas proved something to me.
Tell me.
I got to be honest.
All right.
Because I thought Philly would win the game. I thought Philly was going to stomp the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I thought they were going to beat them up.
But they didn't. Dallas looked every bit as good as the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
They just couldn't make those plays at the end, right? Which has been a staple of McCarthy, a staple of Dallas. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't tell me from watching that game that Philly was a much better football team. They're not. Dallas is on par with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh.
They're on par with them.
Okay. Okay. I mean, the score says it, but yeah. What about the fact that I believe these teams always play each other tight, but the one thing I see with Philly and the glimmer of hope I get if I was a Eagles fans, championship football is about closing.
Yes.
It's about finishing.
Yes.
It's about, I need that first down. We know they're a four down team.
Yes.
It's about, I need a play now from one of my playmakers. Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, they just deliver in those
every
moments.
Time, yes.
That's what I
that's
see.
That's the difference between the two.
That's what I see.
I agree.
I see high caliber football, but that's what I see. Yet, when Dallas is at home, and they're on that fast turf,
yeah,
and they got that advantage.
It's tough.
It's tough.
It's tough.
It's tough.
I was impressed with Dallas, bro. I have to be honest with you. I was very, very impressed with that football team.
Did you like the way Dak played?
Dak played outstanding football, except for at the end. You know, he couldn't have taken that sack there. Just no way. Stepping out of bounds.
Yeah, people are on that.
Running, yeah, he should have cut that up a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, went for the win. He kind of tried. And the guy who is trying to outrun, Brandon Graham, like, Graham can't run. Like, you know, like.
Graham gets downs off now.
Yeah, like, you got to cut that up there, and you got to get that dub.
Do you think he showed, as far as pressures, we know the pressure's always on Cowboys. We know it's on Dak.
Talking about the imaginary pressure?
Yeah, that you talked about, the imaginary pressure. That being said, when people complain about Dak, like, who you going to get that can play like that? Who's out there that can play like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, who can do that?
Mm.
You want to see evolution at the position during the season. You want to get better.
We've seen this from Dak before, though. I don't think this is a – I don't think this was a game that, you know, I saw and I was like, you know what? Now I'm convinced.
Okay. Got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I know what you mean. You've seen this. You've seen this roller coaster before.
We know he's a good player. Yeah, yeah. We know he can play.
You've been on this ride before.
Can he close?
Obviously, it did. They didn't close.
We haven't seen him close.
They didn't close this out. Yeah, and that's the difference when we look at Philly. I mean, these are heavyweights going at it, but who's got that last punch?
Yeah.
And Philly showing they did. Man, good week, man. Next week will be a good week of football. We'll have a good conversation.
Going back to Germany, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Are you going back too?
No.
Oh, man, you all right.
I'm out of here.
You know what, man? Come on, man. Come back, hang out with your boy.
Out of here.
Nah, I'll be back if want to watch the game on Sky Sports NFL. I'll be there. Holla at your boy.
Check it out on Sky Sports, man. Watch Sky Sports.
Yeah, yeah. Support, man. You know what I'm saying? We got fees to pay. You know, these kids are expensive, and I only got one. I don't know how OC doing it. Holla at us next week. The Jason and OC Podcast, for life. Let's uprise. Do it.